I just want to say a little bit about singing, because we talked about favorite verses, favorite Bible stories, favorite songs. How many of you like to sing? How many of you go, not maybe my favorite thing? You don't have to raise your hand to that. How many of you will sing in the shower? Sometimes. How many of you will sing in the car when you're driving along and you've got a song that you like or whatever? How many of you really do your best to sing at church? Okay, some of you do, some of you we got to work on. But singing is a beautiful thing. One of my favorite stories, I thought it would be a good fit for a summer morning to share this one. There was a missionary, a young woman who was visiting a Zulu tribe in South Africa. This was a woman passionate about serving God, and she was visiting a mission compound, and there were many of these Zulu women, and they were singing, and their particular song had beautiful harmony to it, and it was sung with such passion, and this missionary woman felt like this was such exhilarating worship, and with tears in her eyes as she heard these women sing, she asked a friend if that friend knew the translation of the words that these women were singing. "Sure," the friend replied, "what they're singing is this. If you boil the water, you won't get diarrhea." Now, I don't know about you, I don't think that really provokes a lot of, other than I've been to Africa, now maybe that is cause for worship when you're able to sing like that. The lesson, of course, is that you can have a great emotional song and stir a lot of passion, and it might not be quite what we would equate with worshiping God. God in his wisdom gave us the ability to sing and to make music, and it shouldn't surprise us. Now, you know and I know that over the years there's been always disagreement about music. It's too loud, not loud enough, it's this, it's that, or whatever. These debates did not begin with us. We sometimes think that we are the first and the only people. If you go back in church history, there were some fascinating debates I was reading about the other day. Back in the days of Martin Luther and John Calvin, there were all kinds. In fact, there was one incident where because they dared to sing a song that wasn't taken right from the Psalms, half the people in the church left the building. You know, don't you, that back in church history, that was seen as appropriate. That was seen as the only way to really express yourself in song or music, was it had to be taken right out of the Bible. Now, interesting enough, just as a little tidbit, I find a lot of the more contemporary songs seem to be committed to that, but at the end of the day, I would say that there's some wonderful songs with great theology that are very biblical, that are coming from some writers that God is using. The Psalms, though, are so important. In the Psalms, over 50 times we're exhorted to sing God's praise. We started our service this morning with that call to worship. And those Psalms I really love. Psalm 47, verse 6. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. And Psalm chapter 92, verses 1 to 3. Exhort us to worship. At the very beginning of creation, there was song. In fact, we have this really interesting idea of the clouds singing. I wonder what that would be like to hear the clouds singing at the beginning of creation. And you can't read through Revelation. I mean, there's a lot of parts of the book of Revelation that are hard to understand. But one thing I think we all get if you read through Revelation is that in heaven, in the future, there's going to be a lot of music. And I think it's going to be music that is going to be so incredible that we're going to go, we thought we had arrived with some of the songs and with some of the worship services we've experienced, but I can't wait to experience that heavenly music. Bob Coughlin in his book, and I just want to close with this in this little devotional, he gives us four reasons God is so interested in music and why it's so important. The first thing he says is music stirs up and allows us to express God-glorifying emotion. And you know what it's like. You've got that feeling of emotion. You're so revved up that you need expression. And music affords us with that great expression. It's why in all areas of life, you'll see people singing. If you've been watching the World Cup of soccer, I love watching the fans in the stands as much as I like watching what's going on in the field. These people from all over the world, from Europe, from South America, when their team scores a goal, they sing and they celebrate. And it gives us an opportunity when we want to celebrate our God and enjoy Him. Music gives us that opportunity. The other thing about music, it helps us reflect the glory and activity of the triune God. Zephaniah 3 is one of my very favorite passages. Listen to what it says. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, you know, I could show you many passages in Scripture where God speaks. I could show you many passages of Scripture where God acts. But in this passage in Zephaniah, we're told that God sings over those he loves. Have you ever stopped and thought, what must it be like for the Father of us, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, to sing? I would love to have the ability to hear God the Father sing. He sings over us with love. I can remember with our kids when they were really young, I had a favorite chair. And I remember, for example, with Melissa, I'd be sitting there with her in my arms, and I'd rejoice over her with singing a little lullaby. I'm not going to imitate it here this morning, but it was a precious moment. And you know what it is like when your heart is so full of praise. And that's how God our Father is with us. Hey, did you know that just before he was crucified, Jesus with his disciples, it says there in Matthew 26, verse 30, that they sang a hymn before he went to the Mount of Olives. I've always wondered what it would be like to hear Jesus speak. Do you remember in the garden when Jesus said, Mary, and her heart melted, and she realized it was her Savior? Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear Jesus sing? Was he a tenor? A bass? Did he have kind of a Jewish-sounding voice? Wow, our Lord Jesus sings. And then in Ephesians and Colossians, where we're exhorted to sing together, we're told in the flow of the passage that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit and keep on being filled with the Spirit, the way we express that inner working of the Holy Spirit is by singing all kinds of psalms and hymns and other kinds of music. And so I've always felt that the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, even some of us who aren't great singers, and he gives us a passion to sing out our praises to God. So when we talk about singing being a reflection of the triune God, my argument would be that in the Bible we discover that God the Father sings, God the Son sings, and God the Holy Spirit sings. There's a third reason that we believe God is interested in music, and it's kind of a little bit of a negative one. We've been looking at all the positive parts. If you get a chance, maybe even later today, read Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 19 to 22, where God gave Moses a song. And he said to Moses, I want you to record that song. I want you to make that song a priority, because there's going to come a day where the people of Israel will slip. They will rebel against me. But this song is going to be a testimony of mine against them. A testimony to draw them back. And I love that because I think through history we've seen many times where a song not only inspires and encourages us, but sometimes draws us back. One of our favorite songs, we're not doing it today, but we will do it this month. I know many of you indicated it's a favorite song, is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And do you know that haunting line in that song? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. The fellow who wrote the song was very aware of that tendency we have to wander. And yet there's some of these great songs and great hymns of the faith that they're like a magnet. They have the ability to draw us back. And then finally, music helps us express our unity in the gospel. Hey, I love the fact that many of you enjoy to sing in the shower. I have seen some of you, and it's pretty obvious to me that I hope you're singing in the car, either that or you're having some kind of episode or whatever. But there's nothing greater than when we come together with people who love the Lord and we sing. And it expresses our unity. And it helps us to realize that we're very different. Some of us are old, like Anita. Some of us are younger. We've men, we've women. We've got people who've been here a long, long time. We've got some people who maybe are here for their very first time today. But we have a chance to sing together. And that is an expression of our unity in Christ. And I believe that music can put a smile on the very face of God when he goes, here's my people, drawn from different backgrounds, different experiences, but they come together to praise me and to worship me. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that can inspire us and give us the goosebumps like singing some songs. So the next song we're going to sing was likely at the top of the list of your favorites. It did not surprise me. I think I would have predicted it. The fact is, I've done 10 funeral services this year, and I believe that the song was sung easily in 8 of the 10 services. It's a hymn that is called, It Is Well With My Soul. How many of you know the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? Do you know the story? Horatio Stafford, he was the fellow who wrote the song, wrote these wonderful lyrics. He was a friend of D.L. Moody. Horatio Stafford was based out of Chicago. He was actually a fairly wealthy man, but then he had a lot of calamities happen very quickly in his life. His only son died tragically. Horatio Stafford experienced the Chicago Fire, and if you ever visit Chicago, you'll realize that the Chicago Fire of 1871 was a really big deal. It was devastating, and as a result, Stafford had all his finances wiped out. And then, of course, many of you remember that Stafford was left with a wife and 4 daughters, and they went on a voyage to Europe, and on the way, the ship they were on collided with another ship, and it sank in 12 minutes, which was incredibly fast. The wife was able to send a wire to Horatio, and all it said was, saved alone. Horatio Stafford's 4 daughters were all drowned in that accident. Stafford traveled across to Europe on another ship, and when he came near the spot where his daughters drowned, he wrote these words, It is well with my soul. Think for a moment, and I realize this is putting maybe you on the spot, but some of you said it's a favorite song. Why? Just, you don't need to give me a long explanation, but share with us, for you, why is it such a favorite song? Anybody willing to share with us, why is It Is Well such a favorite song for you or your family, or would you believe it's a strong song here in this church? Faye? That's great. That sense of personal identification. Frida?
I have found like I don't want to have fun. I have been in the hospital and brought it by myself. And that was one of the songs that the Lord put on my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. When we're in those Yeah. Yeah.
And everything is well.
Yeah.
Even though everything
Yeah.
could be in a mess.
Yeah. Stafford was in just a desperate state. Can you imagine losing? You have 5 children, you lose all 5 so quickly. He was in a desperate state. And all of us have experienced difficulty. Some of you are maybe experiencing it even today. You cannot sing this song sitting down, can you? In fact, I would argue you can't sing any songs properly sitting down, but that's just my own bias. Will you stand and let's sing this song out? It is historic. It is part of our Christian heritage. It is Well With My Soul. Amen. Please be seated. You could all be on the platform this morning. That was wonderful singing. And I believe my sense of holy discernment is there's one or two of you who needed this song this morning. That's the power of some of these great and wonderful hymns. The next one surprised me. I said there was a favorite that I predicted. This one surprised me because it's not found in all our hymn books, and it's one that I think some of you may not be familiar with, but there were three people who gave this a very high rating in the input that you gave us. It's a hymn called, I Am Not Skilled to Understand. discovered over the last few days that there's about four different tunes to this particular song. What I do know of it, it was written by a lady named Dora Greenwell. She was a single woman from a fairly well-to-do English family. But then, this seems to be a theme in some of our songs, her dad died while she was young and things changed for her. She struggled, Dora, all her life with very fragile health. She also worked with handicapped and disadvantaged children. And she struggled at times with trying to understand their plight. Why are these children in the position they're in? She did a lot of poetry, a lot of writing, and she put one poem to song, and it's one that, as I said, I think is a song that has very compelling and very significant lyrics. I was going to have you sit, but we've only got a couple more songs to go, so on your feet again. At least this morning, if you don't enjoy singing, you will have had a good workout. Standing up, sitting down, standing up. But if you don't know the song, I think you'll pick up it's fairly simple, but especially focus on the lyrics. Remember what I said earlier, there can be some really catchy songs and motion-provoking songs that maybe not have the greatest lyrics. I think the lyrics to this song are very outstanding. So I am not skilled to understand. Please be seated. I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. Is anybody willing to tell us, because I know there's at least a couple of you here this morning who indicated this is a favorite song, what is it that makes this a favorite, compelling song for you? Anyone willing to share with us?
Thank you. And I don't at work as a teacher at the white school that don't learn what did Helen just do? I remember the book of Job where we question God, try to understand God, and God says back to Job, he says, "Who are you to question me? I've got some questions for you. Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? How did I do that? How do I keep the oceans where they are?" And if you ever read that chapter, it's a beautiful chapter. When I get smart out, came, I question God. It's in Job 38. And it's a beautiful chapter. It's God's words. It's God saying, "Look, guys, who are you to ask me questions?" And then my favorite verse, which ties in, I'm sorry if it's a little long, is Isaiah 55, which I've shared with you before. But it really ties in again with this. "For my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts."
Thank you, Heather. "I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, but I do know that at his right hand is one who is my Savior." Did you know that? That Jesus right now, as we're doing what we're doing now, I believe one of his significant heavenly ministries is advocating for you. You're being talked about a lot. I'm like, oh boy, somebody talking behind my back. No, this is good stuff. Jesus is right there with the Father, and he's pleading on your behalf, and he's making a case for you. What a wonderful Savior. Well, along with it as well, this song, this hymn, didn't surprise me. It was right up there at the top as well. It's got actually a rich history, this piece we're going to sing. Carl Boberg, a Swedish fellow, wrote the song originally way back in 1885. He wrote it after a midday storm. And then the storm was followed by a clear, brilliant sun. I think like the sunny day we are enjoying this morning. The song in Swedish could be translated, "O Great God." It was translated into German and then into Russian. And in 1933, a missionary by the name of S.K. Hein was ministering in the Ukraine. And he heard this song sung in Russian and thought he'd like to take the song, do a little bit of a retranslation, add a verse, and the song that he titled, based on "O Great God," he titled "How Great Thou Art." It was a very popular song in Britain, not quite as popular in the United States, until a fellow you've maybe heard of, Billy Graham, did one of his very famous crusades in London, England, back in the 1950s. And that song, "How Great Thou Art," was a song that a Canadian would sing regularly during the crusade as a solo. The fellow's name was George Beverly Shea. Have you ever heard of that name? George Beverly Shea sang "How Great Thou Art" as a solo. And then Cliff Barrow, the director of the choir, said, "You know what? I think this would be a great song for us to sing every night as a choir." And then it became very, very popular in North America. "How Great Thou Art." And this is a song you have to stand to sing. Linda, you got to stand. I know you're going, oh, this is just too much. But this is our second last song. So stand with us. You can't, how can we sing "How Great Thou Art" seated? We're singing this to our great God. And let's enjoy this hymn together. "How Great Thou Art."
Yeah.
Amen. Please be seated. Hot off the press, I just did a survey in Britain, and they asked, what is the most popular, what is your favorite worship song? It was the most often sung worship song around the world in 2013. For some of us who love the traditional, I compel you, you might be surprised. This is a fairly recent song. It was written just a few years ago by a fellow by the name of Matt Redman. Matt Redman writes very good songs, and I'm glad that, just as we're exhorted in the Bible, let's enjoy the old songs, but we need to sing a new song. And I'm very supportive of the number of people who write some really top-notch contemporary worship songs. This song is called 10,000 Reasons. 10,000 Reasons. So the most sung song around the world in churches and other worship communities. And you may say, well, will it still be in the top 10 list in another 10 or 20 years? I kind of think it will. Interesting, Matt Redman was asked just very recently about this song. And he says, I wrote it about the many, many, many reasons to worship God. He said, 10,000 is what I call huge poetic understatement. How do you like that? 10,000 only skims the surface of all the reasons we're to worship God. He says, you know, it's a simple song. He said, I have no pre-chorus, there's no bridge in the song, and the chords are fairly simple. He based it out of Psalm 103. And I'm going to ask Carol to read Psalm 103, and then I'm going to ask you to stand and sing, because actually this was one of your favorite songs, 10,000 Reasons. So Carol, will you read it for us? Listen well to these words from Psalm 103, and then we'll sing the song. Carol?
Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there, he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord.
Amen. Will you stand, please, and sing 10,000 Reasons. Stay standing, please. It was a bit of a risk. We weren't sure how this service would go off. What's made it, in my opinion, is you have sung very well. You've sung from the heart. You've sung from experience. And I don't know about you. I've really enjoyed being here this morning. Amen? And let's thank our... This is our all-star recruited team, so let's thank our team that... a little older worship team than we're used to here at Byron, but just a little. Don't, we won't want to exaggerate that point. But again, thank you for joining with us, and we hope that God blessed you in our service this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I know that when we sing these songs, it revs up memories. There may be lines or phrases that have a hold on us. And God in His goodness gives us these songs. Yes, there's a way for us to express worship to Him, but it's a way for our hearts to be encouraged. Because there's a lot going on in your life and my life that can be discouraging. There's a lot. If you want to be negative, don't have to look too far. And we hope this morning that you're going to leave here this morning with your head held high and going, God, you really are good. 10,000 reasons. Maybe if you've got your heads bowed, eyes closed, God's listening. He can hear you. You don't have to say it out loud, but just say, Lord, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for Jesus. Because I could never live up to your perfect standard on my own. I blow it every week. I know I need a Savior. Thank you for giving me Jesus. Some of you want to thank God for your family. You say, Lord, thank you for a family that puts up with me, that loves me unconditionally. And some of you want to thank God for your job. You've got somewhere to work. You've got some place that you can go where you can secure a living. Hey, maybe you want to thank God for this church, for the people of this church. But just take a moment or two as we close this service to thank God. Because you have 10,000 reasons why you can thank Him. Father, I want to thank you for this service. It's been good to sing old and familiar songs. To God be the glory. Jesus Messiah, it is well with my soul. I am not skilled to understand. God, how great thou art. 10,000 reasons. Father, I thank you for songs. I thank you for the songs of Scripture. And I thank you for the songs that you have gifted us with through talented musicians. I pray, God, that as we leave this place, it will be with heads held high. Father, we have so many reasons to rejoice and to express thanksgiving. So, Father, again, thank you for this. We ask now for your blessings as we take a little time after this service to enjoy fellowship. And, Father, I just pray that we would now, through a warmth of fellowship, express the love of Christ that guards our hearts. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all the people prayed, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at another one of your favorite verses. I'm not going to tell you. It's going to be a bit of a surprise. So you'll want to, it might be your verse that's going to be preached on next Sunday. Enjoy a great time of fellowship. We'll see you next Sunday.